That's because I just get a little wild and it's time for a snack break.
To a more natural introduction. What are you having for breakfast?
I had eggs with some broccoli sprouts on top. And then I had an English muffin with lots of butter. But I did what I normally wouldn't do and that I tell all my clients not to do. I got up and I decided to start working right away. Made my coffee, and not only did my coffee just sit on the kitchen counter for like an hour, I like only drank that while I was editing one of our snack breaks. And then I was like, oh, we're podcasting in 15 minutes. So whoops.
Yep. You know what's really funny is that what you described as what you normally don't do is what I do probably every day. And I did the exact same thing, and I actually sat down to podcast. I was like, well, fuck me, my coffee's cold. And I was like, after we record this first one, because I was making the outlines for this, like, right up to, almost to the buzzer. And then I made a pizza sandwich,
which
was delicious. Oh, my God. Okay, I had a shoddy attempt at vegetables, but listen. Two gluten-free pieces of bread, two slices of provolone, capicola. Really like the pinkies up marinara sauce that isn't like Prego bullshit from a jar. It's something else. It's like, I don't know, one of those things that looks like someone's grandma designed, like maybe didn't design it, but someone's grandma was like, yes, approved. That is a fine label. We are rustic. Okay with that. Yeah, it's got enough swirlies in the font to appease
me. Oh, my God.
So, yeah, but it's really, like, really good tomato sauce that isn't, like, overly sweet. So, anyways, that's what I had for breakfast because I have a big training day ahead of me. And I should be fucking skiing because it is dumping snow outside. But I have shit to do. So, we'll ski later. Anyways.
See you later.
Caitlin, yeah. Which should we do? I feel like we should start with a rapid fire Q&A. My goal for our rapid fire Q&As is to do them in, answer the questions in 2 minutes or less, which I know isn't that rapid fire, but these are good questions that deserve more than fast answers. So, what do you think? Which one do you want to start with?
I'll start with training because
okay, yes,
my nutrition Q&A's are still coming in hot.
Oh, perfect. Okay, we can take a little
at the
break
last
and then
hour.
You can... I love it. Okay, we will do. All right. So, hello everyone. You're listening to the Average Climber podcast. I'm recording here with my dear friend Caitlin, and we're going to be going through a rapid fire. In quotations, rapid fire Q&A with some training questions that you all submitted via the Instagram. I'm Lauren. I'm a certified personal trainer and climbing coach. We're introducing ourselves now. This is my friend Caitlin. Caitlin, would you like to tell people what you do?
I'm Caitlin. I don't normally eat grapes while we're recording podcasts, but desperate times call for desperate numbers.
It's okay. You're just going to ask questions and I'm going to answer them really fast. You can eat grapes. It's fine.
Okay. Well, as the certified nutrition specialist of this podcast, I feel entitled to eat while we're talking.
Right. I was like, I can't. That's why I was like, we're going to run late this morning and I'm going to have my pizza sandwich and we're going to start late because that's what needs to happen.
I'm actually Caitlin, really not proud of you for doing that. I think it's really good to like set that boundary and just like, okay, yeah, we're gonna eat something.
Yeah, I was like, I can't answer questions fast if my brain has no fuel and only coffee anxiety, so we're not doing that. Okay. Quick reminder before we get into this rapid fire Q&A, these questions really are all over the place, but I picked the ones that I think I get the most often and I also think are the most universally helpful. So, quick reminder, if you leave a review and we read it on the show, then you can get a sticker. And the stickers are cute and fun, and it helps us when you leave reviews. So if you could, if you're listening on Spotify, just go hit the number of stars you think we deserve. And if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, take like 15 seconds. Go leave a review. Write three sentences about what you like about the podcast, and that helps us a ton. And if we read your review, you will be featured on the podcast, and we will, you know, send you some stickers, which is fun. So
don't we love that?
That's that. We love that. Okay, Caitlin, I'm ready.
Okay, ready for rapid fire.
Ready Let's to rapid it. Fire answer some questions.
Okay. So the first question that you received is, what would you recommend to help get over a fear of lead climbing? I didn't ask this, but I would also like to ask this. So
yes. Okay. So obviously this is a big question that truly cannot be properly answered in 90 seconds, but I'm a do my best. Okay. So this is my like quick, dirty, simple way to do it. Make a 1 to 10 scale.
1 to 10
scale of what you find terrifying about being on the sharp end. Okay. And then you're going to make a 1 to 10 scale. And you're going to make like 10 is like your worst nightmare. Things that are like very scary, very stressful for you. 1 is what you presently find to be very chill. I'm going to give you a few ideas. Shout out my dear friend and colleague, Carly Rager. She gave me she taught me about extended top rope falls. So things like, I want you to like break down your fear of falling and try to think about what you don't like. Is it like, I really don't like swinging sideways? Maybe you'd be like being above bolt where I would take a sideways swing. Maybe that's like an 8 or a 9 for you right now. Maybe it's like, you know, and maybe, 3 is like taking an extended fall on top rope where you're on top rope and your friend just like lets out a bunch of extra slack and then you fall. But like, these are some ideas. Or maybe like 6 is like going a foot above your bolt and then falling, right? Like, but make this scale of 1 to 10. 1 might be like climbing a warm up on top rope, you know. 4 or 5 might be leading something that's extremely easy for you and well below your limit, right? So go through whatever that scale looks like for you. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Puts 1 or 2 things for each bullet. Now, I don't want you going into the 8, 9, 10 range. I want you hanging out in the 4 to 6 range and making those things that are like a little spicy feel more comfortable. And do something in that 4 to 6 range. Maybe do it, you know, more than one time. The more you do it, the more exposed you get, the better it's going to go. Do that every time you go climbing for like a month or so. Then after 4 to 6 weeks, go ahead and make that 1 to 10 scale again. You might find that some of the things that felt like a 6 are now feeling like a 4. And then rinse, repeat until you feel better. That is the very quick and dirty answer. I think that's the simple answer to approaching, you know, mental game like a skill. And if you want to learn more about that, go check out episode 24 with our dear friend Carly Rager. It's a great episode that talks a lot more about
fear of falling. You do not want to miss that one.
Yeah.
This was so helpful.
That's your question.
I'm going to try this soon.
I'm glad.
A mighty fine recommendation. All right.
Oh, ready for the next one? No trouble at all. The sharp end doesn't have to be scary. It can be a walk in the park once you get used to it. Okay, wow. I should have picked a different accent for every question. Wouldn't that have really distracted people and been hard?
Because
I don't have that many.
I have like 3.
Sorry.
Okay, next one. Okay, how do I get back to climbing shape after ski season and doing a minimal amount of climbing? Ooh, this is also for me. Man, y'all are just helping me out.
I love it. Okay, so I'm kind of in this right now where like I had been climbing and kind of like working on things, but it definitely wasn't the most consistent. But a bitch is heading to Leavenworth soon and I need my skin to not cry after like climbing 10 problems. So I would start with like... basically, your goal is building work capacity and just building up your capacity for climbing again. And once you have that back where you're like, okay, I can like climb for a few hours, I can like get back to what I was normally able to climb, like the amount of climbing I could typically do during climbing season, then you can get more concerned with like building back your top end strength and power, XYZ. But I would honestly start without knowing more about you. I would start with a volume focus for 4 to 6 weeks. Do some higher volume strength training if you haven't been doing any strength work. I would also recommend, like, you could get on the hangboard if that's something that you're used to, but just like go easy at it at first. Like, you don't have to go crazy. And yeah, the main thing is just like rebuild your body's capacity for climbing and then build off of that. A session that my coach Blake has been giving me that I've really liked is just like see how much climbing, like set a timer for 45 minutes. And this is something I actually do similarly in my like Crush It intro program. Not 45 minutes, but, you know, set a timer for 45 minutes and just keep like do moderate climbing. That's like this is bouldering, by the way. Do like moderate climbing. That's, you know, like 2-3 like letter grades below your max, maybe even more. Not letter grades, number grades, whatever. You fucking know what I'm saying. And just do that and keep track of like what you do, how many you send, like da da da. And this should be like flash-ish level climbing, like a little above, a little below. And just like rack up some points. And that session's beautiful because like if it is the middle of ski season and you're still going skiing, it's something that you can do if you're tired. And you can do it in like an hour. So if you're time constrained because like you're skiing a lot, because skiing is kind of a more time consuming sport than other things, like that's a really great session to do. So yeah, just like start building some volume and trying to go climbing more and make your goal do more climbing every session every week. And that's like the very simple way that I would approach it.
I love that. That's like great. Pretty chill. Hopefully everybody, yeah, I think
yeah,
this comes
and if,
out
even if it's not
skiing,
yeah, maybe it doesn't. But
either way,
maybe it doesn't.
Different
depends
sports.
On what equator, what side of the, what hemisphere you're in. So that too,
right on.
Yes,
but still, I think it's applicable for multiple sports. Sports. What is what happening? Okay, so this actually brings us to our next question, and that is climbing and running on the same day or doing them on separate days. I feel like the whole multi-sport thing, let's just rapid fire that too.
Yeah, let's do that. Okay, so honestly, it kind of depends on what climbing and running you're doing. Everyone's different, and also your schedule is different. So it actually might be, you know, maybe it's like harder and more stressful for you as a human to block out like 4 hours to have a mega day. And maybe it's like better for your life to do it on two separate days. What I would honestly do is just run an experiment where you kind of keep track of like how the sessions feel, how you feel you're performing, and do the same climbing session, same amount of running to like run this experiment properly. But do, you know, so do just like 1 week where you separate them, the next week put them together, do it again 1 week where you separate them, next week put it together. You've got two data points for each thing. You'll be able to evaluate which one you liked better, which one you thought was more effective. And that's honestly how I would do it, because sometimes I think if, you know, like there's just a lot of factors to evaluate, and what you're going to like and what makes your body feel good is individual. And I think both can work. I do both, and like sometimes it's good to know what happens when you do both of these things too, because life is gonna life. So knowing how to have flexible multiple options for getting all of your stuff done is important, and also knowing what the impact of those choices are gonna be is helpful. So do Perfect. Some experimenting and see what happens.
Yeah, I think that's the sweet and short of it, because I think if we're doing too much, it's like, you'll know. I don't know. I feel like we're all like, I don't know, I'm not sure. And it's like, no, you'll know.
Yeah. My caveat to that answer too is like, if you are somehow going like 15 days on without a single rest day ever, you like, I would say my like mandatory general recommendation, even if not some of the days that you're doing activity are like extremely light, like one rest day a week is good. Like one actual rest day a week is good. So if you're not getting that, maybe double up a session so that you can. But that's my asterisk on that answer.
Good tip. Okay, next question is, how do I enjoy and feel confident bouldering as a sport climber?
All right, this is your Lauren Zinger. I'm very proud of this one. So get ready to get zung. Okay, so remember that for sport climbing, you need strength, power, and endurance. And listen, here's your zinger. And I want people to remember me saying this. And I want coaches across the land to say this too, because it's funny and also correct. Trying to build strength and power on roots is like trying to cut steak with a spoon. You can do it, but it's not good. Like, that is not what I would do. It's just because it's just hard. It's hard to build strength and power on roots, because what you need for building strength and power is doing hard moves over and over again. And root climbing just has like too many moves, you know, and not that you can't have very hard moves on a route. That's not what I'm saying. And like, you totally can. But if you're standing in a climbing gym and you have like the actual good tool for building strength and power, and you just like skip right the fuck over it and only climb on roots to try to build strength and power, that's silly.
Knives, not spoons. That's what I got.
Yeah, use a knife,
big man,
not a spoon, to build strength and power. That said, I say this as someone that was like resistant as fuck to bouldering when I was first getting into climbing. Like, it was like, oh my God, it was like torture. I hated it. Now I love it, and I really don't like climbing on roots indoors. I like basically only climb on roots outside. But that's just me. So a few tips if you're like in that place where I was. One, have headphones with a good playlist. You need a hype girl playlist. You need the Megan Thee Stallion hot girl workout mix. Like, you, that is what you need. I saw an Instagram reel, and I don't remember who did this, but the idea of being a ghost, like, if that helps you, if you feel like embarrassed, if you feel like people are like looking at you or something like that, just think of yourself as a ghost. Like, put your little Harry Potter invisibility cloak on and be like, no one gives a fuck. Everyone is worried about what they're doing. No one cares that I'm falling off this boulder. Like, it's fine. So, you know, imagine yourself as a ghost, if that helps you. Have your, like, create a bubble of safety and stoke for yourself. Another couple tips is, please quit calling yourself a sport climber and talking about how you're bad at bouldering and good at sport climbing while you're bouldering. That is not helping you. You are a rock climber now.
Also, really just kind of an old story.
Yeah, like, don't do that. It's, I like, listen, and I did it. I literally was signed, like, I'm so embarrassed. I want to like smack past me in the face, but I was signing up for a bouldering competition, and I'm like so embarrassed and like nervous that I'm like telling the people that are, you know, like helping me get registered. I'm like, I'm really a sport climber, but I'm just going to see how this, I'm like, bitch, no, you are a good boulder. Shut the fuck up. Like, they don't care. Like,
yeah, like, don't, I climb well up for like, yeah, like, these don't, like, asterisks to your climbing.
No,
just do it. Have
you're
fun.
A rock climber. Like, you climb, it's fine. Yeah. And then my last tip for this too is like, I feel like I'm just going to be saying this all the time, but like, thoughts aren't facts. So if you're realizing that you're having recurring thoughts, like, I look stupid, I look whatever, I'm like bad at this, whatever. Like, if certain thoughts aren't helping you, like, you get to have different thoughts. Like, you get to choose a different thought. You get to recognize that certain thoughts are not helpful, and you get to think new ones. So maybe take a few minutes to like write down some thoughts that have been circling through your head when you think about bouldering, and then if any, you know, create a new thought instead that you can change that direction with, because that's very powerful and important for a lot more things than just building confidence. So that's my tough love zinger. And also, I'm yelling at my past self because I totally identify with this question, because I was there for sure.
Yeah. Yep. I think a lot of us were at some point. I mean, I think that's just the nature of like who is attracted to climbing. I think a lot 100%. Of us are recovering perfectionists, and that's where we're at. Yes. Okay. Next question. I'm an old school climber. How do I train to do the new comp style problems? Okay, first of all, I am not an old school climber, but I still also need help with this question. So,
yeah. Okay. So, yes, I love this. A of all, I love you for asking this, because people that just like cross their arms and put their I'm crusty and I've been climbing since before you had a driver's license hat on, I'm like, yes. Okay, that's cool. But like, some comp style climbs are like really fun and also really good for you as a climber and can teach you things like
learning.
Yeah, and you can keep learning. Just because so I think I love that you're asking this question, and I think this is excellent. So some big things, and I'll admit, like there's some things about, I've been working on getting better at like more comp style climbs too, so I can't say that I am an expert or extremely good at this by any means, but I have been actively working on it through the winter, and like things are starting to come together a little bit more. So one big thing I think is like learning to use momentum. I think like when you look, I just remember like, you know, when Chris Sharma came on the scene, everyone's like, he's swinging, he's out of control. But you know, like, I think that, yeah, exactly. So it's kind of like this, I think if you are, and I'm actually working with an athlete who, she's in her 50s, and she was like, yeah, like I'm a crack climber. We were like, climb static, climb in control, no jumping. And I've been like teaching her the ways of the momentum, which has been like a really fun process. So yeah, like I think the big thing is like learn to use momentum. If you can get coached in person, I think like that could be really helpful, even if it's just like a handful of sessions where you're like, I really need some help figuring out how the hell to get better at like these compier style problems. Because like the thing is, even though they might seem like niche and whatever, like these concepts and these ways that you use coordination totally come up outside, and also are just like really helpful in general. So I would say also pick a focus every month. So maybe one month you're like, it's dino month, I'm going to spend 15 minutes on dinos every time I go climbing. Or maybe it's like run and jump month. That would be my least favorite month ever. Or maybe it's like weird, balancey, wild comp slab month. Also, you'd be surprised at how many times you kind of have to do something like dynamic and coordinated on a slab too. So just because it's slab doesn't mean it's slow. I'm also going to leave you all I will make a note of this. I'm going to leave you all one of my favorite warmups, which is called a double clutch warmup. It's extremely fun, and it's where it's a very good way to practice coordinating, like releasing both of your hands from the wall and then catching two different holds at the same time, which is very important. It's fun to build coordination, and it's also just, I think, useful when it comes to some of like the more highly coordinated comp style climbs. But like at the end of the day, comp style climbing is going to cause you to be super coordinated, creative, and get good at using momentum and balance. And like none of those things are bad for your rock climbing at all. They're actually really good for your rock climbing. So yeah, but I will link to that double clutch warm-up because I think that's mad fun, and one of my favorite ways, and it doesn't take that much energy. So that's my answer. I love you for being open to new things. That is excellent. Yes. Good job.
Yeah, great, absolutely. I feel like a lot of people are like anti comp style, and they're just like, the gyms are ruining everything. And it's like, well, no,
like, it's not even how outdoor climbing looks. But it's like, okay, but who cares? It's inside, and it kind of is. There are dinos outside, and also, do you hate fun? Because it sounds like you hate fun.
Yeah,
absolutely. You seem like you'd be really fun at parties. So there you go.
There you go. So okay. We have one last question. How do you find balance between work and multiple hobbies each week? We don't. Short answer. Okay.
You don't. No, like you kind of don't. There is like balance is fake. Trying to have it like it's truly like I think. And no, I get what I totally get what this person is saying. I think honestly what it is that like the idea that it's going to feel like peaceful and nice and like you have your shit together. I don't know. Maybe I'll get there. I'll reach enlightenment and like show up at Valhalla and I'll tell you that I figured it out. But I don't know that that's going to happen. Yeah. So I would say like my first thing is like you need to get better at time management. I literally have a coach helping me be better at time management. And my sister was like, Lauren, I think you're really good at time management. Like, I don't know why. And I was like, no, but I want to be Olympic at time management because I have so many things I want to do and accomplish in this life. And I also don't want to be stressed the fuck out while I try to do it. So, but I would say like, whatever you need to do to get better at time management, I would say that learning to time block my calendar as much as that has made me want to scream. But what I realized I was doing, and this is kind of like a life tip and a how to be a person with a life that also likes to do a lot of sports tip, like you will put things on a to-do list, and then if you stop there and don't actually try to see what happens when you put them all into one day, you will fuck yourself over and over again. Because when things are just written on a to-do list, you can like live in fantasy land and be like, yeah, these 11 things plus 4 hours of training can happen today. And it's like, no, they can't.
No.
So if you have to put them in like time blocks on your calendar, you'll see that you're setting yourself up for something that's impossible. And this is me yelling at myself, all of you. Like, I resonate with this a lot. So that's my first tip, is like, definitely learn to time block your calendar and learn to get better at time management, even though like planning it, like it can feel disgusting and annoying to learn how to do this. And I'm right there with you. Okay. Second thing, have a seasonal plan. If you haven't checked out our seasonal planning episode, definitely do that, because I think that can be very helpful. And we definitely touch on like multi-sporting and hot and having multiple things going on in there. Kind of like what we talked about earlier, experiment with the order in which you do things when you do certain sessions, and like have flexibility with that. Like, yeah, if you want to do multiple sports or have more than one hobby, getting rid of perfectionism is very big. And then I would also recommend you check out our like Training for Chaos episode, which kind of like is on that theme of not perfectionism. And that's about like what I call good, better, best training. So I would check that snack break out too, for more tips on this. But yeah, the big thing is like, you need to be, if you don't like having a plan, but you want to do a lot of things, you need to become the kind of person that does like planning, because it will feel annoying, but it will help a lot.
Yeah.
So...
Also,
yeah.
I used to feel like I was good at planning, but really I just told myself a lot of lies about my ability to multitask, and that's just not possible. So
yeah,
once I started doing this more like time planning intention, I feel like it really opened me up to be able to have the capacity to do different things. And I also was getting better at setting boundaries with time. So it was like, I'm not going to work until 5. If I know that working until 5 kind of burns me out and then I don't want to train. So like, I might say, okay, by 4, I kind of want to like close up shop and then like start having a snack and then getting ready.
Yeah.
So
it
helps.
I feel like I'm in the, okay, sorry, we keep talking about Avatar The Last Airbender, but I am in the middle of
it's
watching live action.
We finished it in a day, like, because that's where we're at.
Oh my God, the masks episode was so good. I was like hooting. I was like, fuck yeah. Oh my God, the mask looked, anyways, this, I feel like I am in the process of like the Zuko becoming a better person flu of time management, and it is painful. Because my way of just being like, I'll magically get all this done in a day is like having to burn around me if I want to be a peaceful person. And it's painful.
Your character arc is hard.
My character. Yeah. It's like not, I don't know. Yeah. My time management character arc is really rude. But it's happening. I'm getting better at it. I'll let you know when I find balance, everyone. It won't happen. But okay, sweet. Well, Caitlin, I think we can wrap this up here. Do you have any announcements you would like to make before we close this out?
Just a quick reminder that the rock map is officially out, and if you have not gotten this free resource to improve your nutrition in 20 minutes or less, then I just don't really know what you're doing. Go get it.
Yeah. Okay. Other time management hack. If you feel like dog shit because you don't eat enough and you're tired, that's not going to help.
Yeah. Pro tip. Get
you
the rock
map.
And
yeah. You won't be able to like regulate yourself or make yourself do anything or find motivation if your body's like, we actually need to shut down because I don't have proper nutrition. So
big facts.
Yep. Big important thing to remember. Let's see. On my end, okay, so I will say that in May, custom training plan spots are going to open again. I'm going to do like a big enrollment week, and I am going to let you know that those on the wait list will have access to the spots before everyone else, and I am like making my spots even more limited. There's also a new option that kind of gives you a way to save some money. So it's still custom training with me. It's just a little bit less support. But that starts at like $175 a month, which is like almost half the price of what
pretty good.
yeah, so that's a great deal. So yeah, you can learn more about that, learn more about custom plans in our show notes. And then as always, if you want to learn more about moving better, if you're like, hey, learning to use momentum, that sounds cool, then make sure to check out the Fast Track Movement course. It's a free course that will help you understand the big gaps in your movement skills. And that's something that you can get done over a couple of days in like 90 minutes or less. And that's going to give you a lot of information about how to improve your climbing. So make sure to check that out. Links to all that and those movement drills that I talked about will be in the show notes. And I think we can close it out there. Well, until next time, everyone, keep it average.
Woof.